Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am you chose to be with us, or me, or whatever, on this beautiful Saturday, June 17th, 2017, as we take a look at indifference. I get a lot of questions about it, and we'll talk about it here in a moment. I want to remind you that if you are enjoying these radio programs as well as our TV programs on the website, YouTube, and other places at aspire.org, you are hearing, watching, and seeing these things due to the kindness and the generosity of my sponsors. It is only through sponsorship that we are able to pay for airtime and production of these programs, and I hope that you will, if you enjoy the programs and you see them for what they are and listen to them for what they is, you will join us and help us sustain our radio program through becoming a sponsor with your tax-deductible gift. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. And if you click on support, you will see a submenu that comes down. It says, Why Support Aspire? And it will tell you everything you needed to know about where your donations go, how they're used, and how you can become a member, a sponsor, and help and serve humankind in this way. Your donation goes a lot further than just radio and TV. It goes into hospice here locally in the Monterey area and many other areas to help and serve people who are dying, and they are the forgotten. You know, people don't want to see family members, etc., die, but nonetheless, they do, and somebody has to be there to help them, and I offer that service, and I do quite a bit of it. So your donations really do help. They serve humankind in so many different ways. I hope you will become a sponsor. Indifference, the lack of interest, concern, or sympathy, according to the definition of it in Webster's Dictionary. Unimportance, not regarded as being very important. Lack of concern, disinterest, lack of enthusiasm, apathy. Wow. Does that about explain it all? And how big is our apathy, and what does it do? Well, we're going to take a look at apathy. I don't know what you're apathetic about, but, you know, in everything that occurs in our life in this world, there's something very important going on in the background, and most of us don't get it because we're so apathetic. And my concern is always with myself is when does the situation of my own life exceed my intellectual ability to comprehend it? And when I look at it from that point of view, that's when I have to start taking a different stance within me to open myself up to see the bigger picture of what's going on. And that's why this is also very, very important. So let's take a look at some questions based in apathy. The first one comes from Alex in Florida. I know you're right, quote unquote, about our lives, how we hate and fear and do our evil. But it's so easy to do it, and why don't I really care? Alex. Well, Alex, I don't know you personally, okay? So anything I'm going to say here is subjective to myself and people that I have worked with. You probably fall into that category with the rest of us. So I'm just going to, you know, fly on winged blessings here and hope that I'm able to serve you and help you. I'm not right, okay? I don't want to ever give you the impression that I am right, because that's not what I do. I have a perspective, okay? And that perspective isn't about right and wrong, good and bad. I'm not into duality at all. I don't see it as very helpful. I use words in our English language, probably not very well, but I use them to depict a meaning that I'm trying to get over to you. And sometimes words get in the way. Sometimes due to my lack of skill and all of that, I can't come up with a word you want to hear or would might need to be heard in order to serve you. And I always ask for your forgiveness at the end of every program for something like that. My asking for forgiveness covers a gamut of sins in me here, so please understand that. But the basis of what I'm trying to offer to you is a more spiritually intelligent way about going about our daily life. And I may talk about the idea of how much hate and fear and anger we have and what that does to us. And I do talk about that. I do talk about the repercussions of all of that in our life and what it basically does to humanity, what it does to humankind. And I don't think we care very much about humankind, Alex. I really don't. I think we only care about ourselves. We care about our immediate family, and we care about maybe a little bit about the downtrodden. Maybe you do care a little bit, let's say, about the hospice people I go see. But you can't care too much because you don't know him. And you think, well, you know, he's doing that in Monterey. I live in Florida. Why would I, you know, care about the people in Monterey and all of that? That's where the indifference comes in, okay? That's where it comes in. We are all hooked together. We're all in this life together, Alex. None of us is apart from it. I don't care if you live in Timbuktu. It does not matter. What you do here affects hundreds and thousands of people over there. And because you and I have such small intellects and small perceptions, and because we look at everything from our intellect and from our small perceptions of life, they're locally based and homegrown in the genetic disorder of, in my case, the Penn family, and in your case, whatever family you came from. We just are very short-sighted, and we don't see how this affects that. We just don't see it, and we don't really care. We don't care to see it, and we don't see it. So in the bigger picture of our life, in the ebb and flow of our living, we miss. We miss opportunities to serve humankind. We miss opportunities to affect someone. The little thing you do in Florida, maybe, a little kindness, may affect somebody way over here in the West Coast, or way over there in Hawaii, or way over there in England, or way over there in the Kremlin. You don't know. But I can tell you, our energies are together. We are one. Whether we can understand that or not. And that's the problem. We don't understand that, and we don't even care to understand it. I mean, why would we? If it doesn't affect me personally in a way that I think is, dramatic enough or personal enough to make it important, then why worry about it? Then that's the pedestrian mentality at work. We have to have a more global look at life, a more global attitude about our living. We have to see the bigger picture for what it is, and we don't want to see it, and we don't see it because we don't really want to love, forgive, have mercy, and be unconscionably generous. We just don't want to do it because we see it as a bother. We don't see any reason why we should. We don't get it. We don't want to get it. Yadda, yadda, yadda. I could go on and on and on with this, but that's the way we are. And Alex, it's like global warming and all of the other things. Unless it affects me, it doesn't exist. So if you're living from air conditioner to air conditioner, from heater to heater, you don't see the issues that much. But when you're out in the world, like I am, and you're dealing with people who are in sorrow and pain like I do at hospice or hospital work that I do, or even my own counselees, you begin to take on a different perspective. All these people had to come from somewhere. And when they get to me, they've come from somewhere and anywhere. And how did they get that way? Well, they got that way because they traveled here and they traveled there and then and who knew that living was so hazardous to our health and our well-being? But it is. So you don't care because you're indifferent, because you have no sense of proportion. The proportion of suffering to yourself, the proportion of suffering to humankind. I had a friend in college, and I always use him. His name was Todd Cleary. I'll never forget him as long as I live. I often wonder where Todd is. He used to say to all of us when we were sitting there doing our homework or we were in the student union, and he would say, if you can't eat it, drink it, smoke it, or have sex with it, the F word he used, and I can't use that word on radio, but you know what I mean. It ain't worth it, he'd say. Eat it, drink it, smoke it, or have sex. And you know what? We used to laugh at that. We used to think, isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard? We really did. And now it's the truth. Who knew it was going to get down to this level where it's only about me, 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 the great American opera, me, 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 me. And that's all that matters. So your indifference towards other people doesn't make me right. It might prove my point, but that doesn't make me right. The thing to do in your life is the thing your and my ego does not want to do. So when you feel resistance to anything that you're doing or want to be doing, you know, you feel like, I'd hate to write out a check to help, and, you know, that's money out of my pocket, and, you know, it won't help anyway. I mean, I need it more than they do. You take those attitudes. Ooh, do those attitudes come back? And come back and come back over and over and over again. I have students that take these attitudes. All of my students do, from one time to another. And then when it kicks them in the butt later on, they just can't see why they got kicked in the butt. The spiritual butt, that is. And eventually, they see it. I've had students with cancer who still can't see why they have cancer. And they don't understand the dilemma that is before them, because the dilemma that is before them is within them. And we all have dilemmas. I have them. You have them. We all do. So what do you do when your life exceeds your intelligence? Your life, in order to understand it and deal with it, exceeds the intelligence you possess to deal with it. That's the real question here. And most people don't want to answer that. I'm out of here. Alex, thank you for your kind comments in the back of your email about the radio program and my blogs and stuff. I truly appreciate what you do and how you talk about them. I work very hard to try to stir some thinking out there in another way. Spin it. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you haven't seen my blogs, they're really a lot of fun. I put music to pictures and make a story out of them for you, and then give you a short analysis of it all. You should take a look at the blog section on the Aspire website sometime. Next one comes from Jess in Colorado. Is it wrong karmically? And it's karma. There is no word karmically, I find out. And I like that word karmically, so I'm going to use it anyway, okay? Is it wrong karmically on my part to be passionate about things that I think are important? Like, I think it's important and I am passionate about traveling. Is this wrong, Jess? Jess, again, I am not the God of right and wrong, okay? I'm not. So please understand that. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pope. I'm just a man working on his own practice, working on his own life, and seeking to do some things with his life that are a little bit more out of the box than his genetics would allow. That's the best way I can describe me. So this thing with travel, I don't know if you're a man or a woman, but women have this itch for travel all the time. They will sacrifice their entire life for the sake of traveling. I don't know what it does for them. I've interviewed them. I've talked to them. They're not any better than other people that I've met. In fact, in some ways, they're worse. They have this high and mighty attitude. Well, we don't have to do that in our country. Or thank God I don't have to live like that or whatever. It's always fun for people to tell me that they would like to get into the culture of another, another sect of people in the world. But what does that do for you? Did that enlighten you? Did that awaken you? You have to come to a point, Jess, in your life where you start to see things for the way they are and not the way you and I want to believe they are, okay? For some people, taking a trip, a travel to somewhere is a very powerful thing to do. It's a very good thing to do. And for other people, it just ignites their ambition, their pride, and their vanity to such a degree that it actually becomes detrimental to the course of them spiritually awakening. Now, Jess, how important is spiritual awakening to you? I'm sure it's not important at all. I'm sure that indifference there is huge. Well, does it butter my bread? Does spiritual work make me richer, or does it make my life better or easier and all of less complicated? Will I be a better person, and how do I cash in on being a better person? And I think we do all of that. I think we have a lot of that in our life, the way we think. And because we live in this manner, and because we insist upon living in this manner, we miss the entire experience of what it means to live in love. We live very precariously on the cusp of our own self-destruction. I think our environment is showing us that. I think a lot of things are showing us that we're foolish and we do some ugly things. I have found, personally, Jess, that there's no way to talk a person down from their passions. I do not see passion as an attribute that is good. I've never seen it. Because when passion ignites and it gets going, it makes people do a lot of things that are very unkind. I've seen that. Very selfish, self-centered. And then when it dies down, I've seen it lead them in depression. To me, a person of high passion is a person who is getting ready for depression. The other side of passion is depression. I've seen this many, many times in my career. So I don't look at it like this is a great thing in a person's life. I really don't. And I'm sorry that, I probably make you feel bad about it, but it is what it is. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm just here to give you a perspective. If you need to go and travel and waste your time and money on seeing things in order to enhance your ego, your vanity, your pride, if you go and have this deep curiosity about how others live and you think that's going to awaken you, then go do it. Do it and do it and do it until you can't do it anymore. And then turn around and look in the mirror and ask yourself, with all the places I've been, with all the money I've spent, with all the food I've eaten, am I awake? Now, most people don't use that as any criteria for anything that is important, and that I understand also. So I don't think you would say that or do that little litmus test and really get anything out of it. You would never look at it and go, well, no, I'm not. And gee whiz, Greg was right. You know, I wasted my time and money and effort. It's the energy you waste that is the deepest part. But hey, you know, there are thousands of lifetimes to have to get all this, thousands. And repetition is the glory of my stupidity. So if you need to go and do that, Jess, go do it until you can't do it anymore. And then when you can't do it anymore and you sit down and look at it and all of your passions have been fulfilled and all of your ways have been made and you feel like, well, I got it out of my system, whatever that is, then maybe, just maybe, you'll be ready to sit on the cushion. I don't know how many lifetimes that's going to take. I know a lot of students who would be more than willing to give up their practice, a retreat or a workshop or something where they were actually going to be involved in something greater than their passions and their desires for the sake of doing something that only fulfills their gratifications. Oh, absolutely. I can't help that person, and I don't even bother, because they need more time in the hell of their desires than they do in the heaven of what I offer them through the work, through the practice. So it is what it is. Jesse, get in that mobile home, get in that RV, and start traveling. Please forgive me. Namaste. Once a person's mind is made up on anything, it is absolutely futile to try to deal with them. The last question. Greg, I hate to give. Tell me why I even should bother. John from Minnesota. John, you're asking me to debate you. You're asking me to try to coerce you. Your mind is made up. What could I possibly say to make you look at things from a deeper, more profound point of view? What can I say? You wouldn't care. Indifference comes from the human heart. The human heart is a disease, and it spreads all over the place, and you can get so many people in that disease so very quickly, and they can live with you in that disease and be comfortable and be happy and think that they are doing the right thing when they're not. There's other people who say, well, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. You know, there's, everybody has an opinion about it all. I'm just saying to you the one thing. Unconscionable generosity brings to your life the one thing you don't know you need, but need desperately. I'm going to tell you what it is, but you're not going to think you need it, and you don't think it's valuable, and you don't think it will do anything to alter your experience here on earth, yada, yada, yada. But it is the one thing that I need and everyone needs. Unconscionable generosity leads to mercy. And believe me, we all need to be merciful. The more our population grows, the more mercy we need. Mercy is to be released from the cruelty of our own hand. That's what mercy is. The freedom to not have to pay the price all the time for my unkindness, my selfishness, my greed, my pride, my vanity. To have that ability inside of me to relinquish the lesser part for the greater part. It is only in mercy that my meditations take on a new flavor. They take on a new meaning. They take on a zest, a life. And the reason many people meditate and don't get much out of it is because they're trying to get something out of it, and they do not have the mercy in their heart to understand the nature of their life and what they're really doing. And hence, they struggle and fight and make meditation difficult. And it is only difficult because I make my meditations difficult, because I have no sense of mercy. I could go on and on. Thank you for your beautiful question, John. I hope I helped you, and I hope I helped my audience here. I want to thank you for listening. Come to the website at aspire.org. There's so much more there for you. Please forgive me. Namaste.